Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open up to Proverbs chapter 4. The title of today's message, for those of you that will take notes, which I encourage you to do, is called True Heart of Faith. True Heart of Faith. And so if you would, we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, so if it's a little off from yours, that's okay. One of the things I would highly encourage, I remember a pastor used to share this all the time, that if you get a Bible that you can't write in, go buy a Bible that you can write in because it makes it a lot better. And so I just encourage you, I mean, your Bible should kind of look like this. And so about every 2 years, unfortunately, my Bible falls apart and I have to buy a new one. And so I'm still in the process of this one becoming my Bible, but it's getting better. We're becoming more and more familiar with each other. So Proverbs chapter 4, the title of mine, or the top part, says, A Father's Wise Advice. A father's wise advice. And so this is something that he's coming in to share. And we're going to skip to verse 20, and it says this. It says, My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. And now I think about this as I'm reading this. I picture this kind of person who's getting ready to die or something important. It's like it's a major moment in this child's life. And this father is sitting there and he's describing, he's saying, let me help you to understand this. It is so vitally important that you get this part right here. And so he goes on and he's driving it home and he says, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. So he's saying, listen, this is for your benefit. He didn't just say, hey, listen up, I got something to tell you. I mean, he drove the point home. And I love the very next verse, verse 23, it says, guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart above all else. Remember before, he said, let this penetrate deep into your heart. Because from the abundance of the heart, remember, the mouth speaks. So if I don't let it get deep into my heart, I'm never going to be able to speak it out. I'm never going to be able to share those things. And that's what it comes back down to. And here is guard your heart above all else. Because what you're putting in there eventually is going to come out. It's like a piece of fruit. If I squeeze it, whatever is on the inside is going to come out. Pressure creates that. And so he goes on, for it determines the course of your life. Verse 24, avoid all perversive talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path and don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. And I love those statements, and I think so many times we take things literally, like it's like, this is the way I have to do it. Oh, this is an evil person, stay away from them. But I think so many times the enemy creates in us a safe zone that we think we're okay, and we realize it's pulling us away from where God truly is. See, there was an illustration years ago that I learned that, you know, when God created Adam and Eve, he created us to have fellowship. So if this is God right here, we were created to be in fellowship and connection with God. That it said that he daily went down and spent time with Adam and Eve. Daily he got to spend time with his creation. And he loved it. He loved to spend time with them. And he loves to spend time with you and I. The thing is that God has always stayed in the same spot. Remember, the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. He's the same God that wants to spend the same amount of time with you that he did in the beginning. The difference is we have this enemy who's over here who keeps distracting us, telling us, oh, we're going to go this way. And we may be right next to God, and he's 5 feet away. The problem is he took a step to go 6 feet away, and we took a step. See, we've kept the same distance, so we think we're okay. The problem is we're more focused on keeping this distance instead of the distance we're losing here. That's why he's telling us to come back, and that's why he's saying guard your heart. Because if you don't guard your heart, what you're putting inside of you will eventually come out. It's going to come out. And how many times have you ever caught yourself and say, wow, where did that come from? Well, that was in there. It was in there. But we have to choose to come back to this point because the word teaches us that we need to let the word penetrate deep into our hearts. And I think about this because many times in America, especially, we have a lot of Christians that Sunday morning is about the only time that they get the Word of God. And it's almost like a checklist. Like, well, I went to church, check. Okay, now I can go do whatever I want. But that's not what it's about, because think about if you had a marriage like that. If you had a marriage, if my wife was standing here and I was like, hey, I gave you a hug this week, I'm good to go. I can go do whatever I want. That's not going to be a good relationship. That's not going to go very well. And we're going to learn very quickly that that statement is true. When mom is not happy, the whole house. Yes, anyways, we're going to leave that there. We know that all too well. So as we let the words penetrate, we see a lot of people that look at themselves or at the conditions or the symptoms, and then we judge that against God's word. See, it should be the reverse. We should look at God's word and let it judge the symptoms and the conditions we have in our lives. See, a lot of times that pulls us away. See, a lot of times the when we look at ourselves, we kind of forget to lean into God. We lean on what we know. And if we're not sure, God will really take care of us today. Does God really love me? Does God really care about me? Sometimes the conditions speak louder than God's voice. Sometimes it's symptoms. Maybe it's bills. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's things at work. Maybe it's this. They are screaming, and it's all a perceptive thing. Because here's the deal. If I stand closer to a mountain, God's going to look pretty small. But if I stand closer to God, that mountain looks pretty small. See, that's where faith comes in. You're trusting somebody you physically cannot see, but you have to know he's there. And that's what it comes back down to. See, my kids get this idea. They know all about faith. They know about faith because they have grandparents that are amazing. And what they do is they do this. See, they go, and my mother-in-law is like the world's greatest gift giver. And my kids go, she literally hands them a book and says, circle what you want. And they're like, oh, okay. Circle, 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 circle. Comes back Christmas morning, bam, it's all there. And so they're like, hey, ask and you shall receive, right? I get it. So I asked and I received over here. And so they get this thing. They understand what faith is all about because they get it because I asked over here and I received it over here. And now you have to revert that back into, do you trust that with God? See, because here's the deal. Unfortunately, in America today, we have more faith in a water heater than we do in God. How many of you have ever turned on your water? Now, I had a house that, for some reason, they decided to plummet through the entire house before it ever got to my master bedroom and master bath. So you know what this is like. Some of you probably had houses like this. You turn it on, and you go cook dinner, do the dishes, clean the house. By the time you get back, it's just now getting hot, right? Now, what happens, though, when you turn that hot water on? You step away, you grab your clothes, you get everything you need to do, and then you turn around and come back. And if it's not hot, what do? Oh my gosh, this doesn't work. What? This thing, call the plumber. This thing's not working. I don't get it. Because your expectation is the moment that I turn the hot water on, it should be hot within the next minute, right? Do you have that same faith with God? Because remember, the Bible said, ask and you shall receive. It said, whatever you ask for in my name, you shall receive it. So if I stand on those verses and on those words, then it tells me this. Faith simply is believing what I'm asking for. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. Now, the Bible does say in Ecclesiastes 11:1, it says, for cast your bread upon the water, for after many days it shall return. And then it goes on to say, but those who look at the wind or the clouds, in other words, what he's saying is those who get distracted will not receive because they won't be ready to receive it when it comes back. See, because what we do is a lot of it like this. If I were to take a football and I were to throw it to somebody and say, here, this is yours, and I'm like, all right, they're not going to catch it. Well, they're ready to throw it back to me, but I'm off walking away saying they're never going to throw the football back. Well, they're ready, they're throwing it, I just am not ready to receive it. See, that's the thing with God is he's saying very simply, trust me. Because the word of God continually to share it. For example, see, many people see God's word, this right here, and they say that they agree with it mentally, but it doesn't agree in the heart. See, how many times do we actually look at the word of God and say, oh, that's for me? See, I took credit for all the stars. You guys just get to enjoy them because God created them for me, right? See, that's something that I've taken, I've looked, and I've said, God, this is amazing. Thank you. And it reminds me of his majesty and his amazing ability. Well, it's the same thing when I read the word of God. You know what it continues to do? It continues to paint a picture. It continues to give me hope and a blessing and understanding. See, the difference between mentally agreeing with the word of God and heartfelt agreement with the word of God is all about how you handle what you say, how you live, the way you walk. See, you know, this faith thing There's a difference between hope and faith. See, we a lot of times talk about, oh, I have hope, or I hope this will happen. So when we talk about hope, we're always talking about the future. But when we talk about faith, the Bible says it is now. In fact, turn with me to Hebrews 11:1, and let's get to that scripture, because I want to break it down and help us to understand it, because if we don't understand what he's talking about, we're going to miss so much. Hebrews 11:1, and again, this is out of the New Living Translation. It's going to say a little bit different than yours if you don't have this, but I love the way that this says this. This breaks it down so incredibly, and it says this: faith shows the reality. See, faith shows the reality. Too many times we take reality and we try to describe it into our faith. But he's saying this: faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things that we cannot see. See, faith is jumping on board and saying, God, I still know you have a plan here. See, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. This is the best picture of words that we can understand what faith is in our lives. Because a lot of times what you're believing for may not be here at this moment, but it's okay because it's in the next moment. But are you willing to stay faithful to the next moment? And I think that's where God comes to in our lives. And he says this, he helps us to understand this. What God is simply telling us is that faith is laying a hold of the unseen realm, those things that we can't see yet, of hope, bringing them into the realm of reality. See, there are many times, in fact, I've had to walk through this in my life, that faith is a step-by-step process. It just doesn't happen. Well, I'm believing for a new car. I'm believing for this. Sometimes it's believing for something little. And I remember when God started walking me down this path, he started taking me down here, and it was almost like a step after step after step. And one of the things that God did is it started with something little. I read in the Word that he says, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. So I said, well, that's pretty amazing. See, I didn't grow up in the church. I grew up going to an Episcopalian church. And the only thing I knew about God at that point was, be good and you go to heaven. That's all I knew. Now, I don't know if they ever taught that or if I just made that up in my head, but that's all I knew. That's really what I remember. And they had really good food after service. That was the other part that was really good. They always had these snacks. They were incredible. But that's all I really knew. 17 years old, my parents start going to another church, and they made a deal. Well, an easy way to get to a 17-year-old, very easy, include food into whatever you do, and you got them. They're in. They're in. I'll buy you lunch. Okay, I'm in. If you'll go clean this, or if you'll go, that's okay. That's okay. I'm going. I'm in. It's food. And so they used to say this, that if you went, if you go to church, we'll take you out to eat. We'll take you out to eat lunch. Well, in my family, we didn't have a lot of money, and so going out to eat was a big deal. It was a huge deal in our world. And so all of a sudden, I started going to church. I started getting involved. I started doing these things. And make a long story short, my brother goes to a conference. It's the Desperation Conference. Before Desperation was Desperation, it was the beginning of it. So our very first conference, he went to it, comes back, shares his testimony in the youth service. At the end of it says, does anybody want to receive Jesus? And I was like, sure, I'm in. And I walked up, and I didn't know what I was doing. I literally to this day still have no idea why I thought I should walk forward. But God had a plan. So I get done with that. The next day, I go meet with my stepbrother, and I say, okay, what do I do? And he hands me a Bible, and he says, read this. And I was like, okay, is that it? And he goes, yep, read it. I said, okay. So I start opening, I read it. I didn't have anybody tell me, okay, this scripture means this, and here's when it's good, and here's when it's bad. Or I didn't have somebody come in and say, yeah, see, this part right here, we don't really listen to this anymore. We listen more to this stuff. See, I think too many times we try to dissect this kind of like a buffet. Ooh, staying away from those greens. The meat, the desserts, I'm in. I'm in on those things. And that's what it comes back down to is a lot of times we kind of treat God that same way. We try to pick and choose, but I'm so grateful that nobody told me that this right here, the whole thing of it, all ties together and that all of it's for me. It's a love letter that he wrote for me and that I realized that these are directions and help and prosperity and everything that he has in here, they're for me. And so I just started reading and accepting and saying, okay, well, that's mine. I got the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I started saying, okay, I'm going to trust in you, God. That's a lot easier than me making goofy decisions anyway, so I'm just going to do what you ask me to do. And then I got to Matthew 6, 33, and it got into my heart, and I realized, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you. I stopped worrying about everything else, and I said, Oh, that's right. And then 34 that says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Worry about today. Just do today. Let's just do today. Let's just do this moment. And it made my life so much better because I stopped worrying about everything else. And I think that's what it comes back down to, is that we have to learn that we have to have faith, not just hope. See, here's the thing about faith and hope. Hope paints a picture. Hope paints a picture of something that's amazing. For example, when we sing songs, it paints a picture. That's why worship is so amazing. God moves so much in worship because it starts to paint a picture of who we are. And as it paints that picture, it moves us forward. And then all of a sudden, faith says, I can be in that picture. See, we look at these pictures and we think, oh, that's amazing. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, can I see myself there? And if we can't see ourselves there, then our faith is not there, which means it's just a hope. But we've got to see it in love. We've got to see it in reality. We've got to see it in faith. So now hope becomes faith. Faith is, I'm stepping into the picture. Now I'm living this thing. Now I'm living in it. It may not be fully revealed to everybody else, but that's okay because it doesn't matter to them. Remember, it's my faith. It's not someone else. It's not my wife's faith. It's my faith. So when I choose to step into that, now I'm walking in faith. See, and the great thing about it is the Bible also teaches us that faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love, right? Well, you know what love does? Love lets you live it out. Love lets you live in those things because when you're unloving, you're ungrateful. When you're unloving, you're unthankful. And you know what it comes to? All of a sudden, that nice car that you were so grateful that you got becomes, oh, this piece of junk. It's interesting how blessings become junk, all on perception. I'm so grateful that what God has given me. I remember years ago, he started dealing with me. And it was actually a sermon I heard Joel Osteen preach on. And he said this, he said he had gotten ready one morning and he'd gone, worked out, and done these things, and his wife asked him to go get some stuff from the store, and it's just a couple of things. And so he said, okay, so he jumps in the car, and he had a workout stuff on. He said, I had dirty clothes on and things like that, and he runs to the store. And he said, I'm getting, like, just pulling into the parking lot, God starts speaking to my heart, and I'm arguing with him. And he said, God says, this is how you're going to walk into my store and represent me. And Joel Osteen goes, I'm just running in. You know how we argue, go back and forth. Oh, God, it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. So he goes back and forth. He finally gets parked. He turns the car off. He just about opens the door, and the Lord asks again, is this how you're going to represent me? So he goes, okay, God. So he shuts the door, turns the car back on, drives back home, takes a shower, gets dressed, gets changed, goes back to the store, picks up those two things, goes back home, gives it to his wife, and his wife's like, wow, that took a lot longer than I expected, and tells her the story. But what it helped me to understand is this, is that no matter where you're at, you should always be grateful for what you have. See, I have a car that's not the greatest car in the world, but I'm blessed with it. And I remember I used to always say, when I get a new car, I'll do this. When I get a new car, I'm going to buy one of those car wash packages, and I'm going to wash my car all the time, and it's going to look great. We're going to do this, and we're going to do this. This is about 7 years ago. And God said, why are you going to wait till you have a new car? So in that moment, I said, you know what, God, you're right. I'm going to take care of everything I've got now. I've still got that same car. Amen. I still go through the car wash and take care of it. Because I know this, God has put on my heart to give that car away, and I don't want it to be a piece of junk to them. I want it to be a blessing to them. And I'm going to treat it like the blessing that God gave it to me as. And I think that's kind of the mentality and the understanding that we have to get back to, especially with faith. See, when we substitute hope for faith and try to get the answers we want from God, we'll always miss it. Because hope is always a future tense. Faith is a present tense. We've got to change the way that we speak. One of the things that I've learned over the years is that when we hope for things, it's great because that gives us a picture, something to shoot for. But now I got to see myself in that because faith is the next step. See, when I start doing it, it may not be right now, but that's okay. I'm going to keep taking the steps because I know this, it's the next one. It's kind of like when Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. They came to him after he invented it and said, man, you had all these mistakes. And he goes, no, I figured out 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb. See, we can always go back to those statements and we can look at those things. If it's not now, it's simply not faith. It's still hoping for things. And so I don't know where you're at with your faith walk or where you're at with God in this moment, but I think a lot of us are living a hope-filled life instead of a faith-filled life. But the good thing is it's a simple adjustment. Hope allows God to paint the picture for us. Faith now puts it on us to walk it out. We continue to walk those things out. See, if you want to know where your faith is, simply listen to the words you speak. So many times, especially, you know, here we come up and we're going to have sickness is going to come around and things like that. And I hear people all the time say, oh man, I'm going to get strep again this year. And I'm like, yes, you will. Yes, you will. You're exactly right. There's your faith. People come up to me like, oh man, you're working in the school now, man. You're probably going to get sick. I'm like, no, I'm not. They're like, no, you are. No, I'm not. No, no, because you know what? I'm going to do everything I can on my own power and I'm going to give God the rest. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to do those things. I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to do what I can, but I'm going to give God the rest and trust him. And if that means that I do get sick, then he's just telling me I need a little rest. You need to take a couple days off of work. You need to lay down and take some rest. That's what that means. But I'm going to live by faith. See, I think as I process this through in my life, I realize this. See, hope gives a way out for God if he doesn't answer your prayer. So what I mean by this is that you almost have that back door. Well, you know, I don't want God to mess up. I don't want, if I believe for something great and God doesn't do it, how am I going to tell my friends who I've been standing for forever on this? Because God didn't answer it. No, no, no. It's not that God didn't answer it. God's still answering it. You just stand faithful. He just may not answer it the way you think he's supposed to answer it. Because his ways and time are perfect. And he knows exactly what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. And all it is simply, I'm trusting God for this. That's what it comes back down to. See, when we live in hope, there's always an opportunity for God if he messes up. Well, you know, God just kind of did this, and God did that, and it's okay, God still blessed me here. And we try to like justify God. But it's not about, God doesn't need to be justified. All we have to do is trust him. And that's what he's simply telling us in these scriptures. He's helping us to walk through. Remember Jeremiah 29:11. He has plans and a hope and a future for you. No matter where you're at, he's still got great things in front of you. And I think that's where we have to continue to get our hope changed into faith. And it walks it through. See, 1 Corinthians 13, and I'll begin to close with these thoughts here. Let me get there real quick. Because this is a scripture I talked about just a minute ago. But I want to hit it again. It says three things that will last forever. Three things. Just three things. Not Xbox One, not Fortnite. We know that, thank the Lord. Three things. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. See, here's the deal. Hope paints the picture. Faith allows you to live in it. And love allows you to live it out. That's why he's coming back to that. You walk those out and it changes everything that we see. See, when we develop our faith to a place where we believe what the word says, regardless of circumstances or physical symptoms, then we're believing the right thing. And that's what brings results. See, God loves us so much that he always wants the best for our family, our job, and every situation. I remember talking to somebody one time and they said, man, every morning it takes me forever to get ready in the morning, or does this, or does that, or I'm having a bad hair day. And I said, have you ever asked God to help you? They're like, God doesn't care about my hair. He knows every number of them. Why wouldn't he care about it? Take a moment and say, God, help me here. I remember there was a moment I was working at a golf course and we used to have to change these holes. And I remember I was pounding this thing in there and I was still relatively new at it, but I knew God loved me and I knew God cared about me. And I'm pounding this thing in and I have to pull this plug out. And I'm trying to pull it out and it will not come out. And you know how... Well, I don't know if you guys are this way, but I get this way. If it doesn't go the way I want it to right now, I get pretty frustrated. See, frustration is unmet expectations, and my expectations were not being met. And so I'm pulling it out, I'm getting mad, and not only that, I've got these wonderful golfers that have their way of doing things, and I'm ruining their way of doing things, so they're being very kind to me. Sarcastic, I hope you're understanding that. And so I'm going through and I'm trying to get this thing out. I'm trying, I'm rushing, I'm going as fast as I can, I'm going as fast as I can. And I remember I tried probably 15 or 20 times and I'm sitting there and the pressure's coming and this thought crosses my mind. Why don't you ask me to help you? And I was like, okay, I got nothing else. I better try this. And that's kind of my thought. And I said, God, I need your help. I'm 17 years old at this moment, and God is talking to me about something that he can help me with at my job. And I remember sitting back, and I thought, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. Can you help me pull this thing out? Pops right out, just like that. I was like, thank you, Lord. I run quickly over, put it in there, and those things, and then God spoke to me as I left that green, and I was headed to the next one. And he said, I care about everything in your life. I just want to be included. And I think that's what it comes to in our lives. See, John 14:27 says this, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. See, I think too many times we look to the world for the answer, or reality to the answer, instead of God. See, God shouldn't be our last resort. He should be our first, all the time. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 says this, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him so that he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. See, I think that comes back to us. We have to trust him. And that's where the question will come to very simply. Is it, where is your faith? See, a couple of weeks ago, my daughter started running cross country for the school. And she's a sixth grader, and her first cross country meet, she did really well. I was so proud of her. She did really well. She was running against sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, and she got third place. I was like, that's awesome. First race she's ever run in before. And I was like, that is so incredible. So a couple days later, she comes in, and you're good. You can tickle the ivory whenever you're ready. She comes in, and she was upset. She was upset about some things. I said, what's going on? What's up? She goes, nothing, nothing. Finally, my wife, who's better at it, gets it out of her. And she said, you know, one of the things that bothered her is she expected Monday morning, because they announced how the middle school athletics did, she expected to hear how they did. And they didn't say anything that day. And so she was so disappointed. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think actually I messed that up. I forgot to send it to the principal. But so I'm like going through my head. And God stopped me and said, that should be the way that you are with faith. That your expectations are so firm and set in your foundation that there's no chance that anything will blow them down. That you're going to stand firm and you watch me answer your prayers. See, every time we give an opportunity for God to do something different, it's us saying, God, I don't know if you're really going to do it. And I think it comes down to the simple word, trust. Psalms 8:9 says this, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. See, he created everything. Every single thing on this planet is created because of God. It's created for God. It's created by God. See, the relationship that we choose to have with God comes back to that question I asked earlier. Have you ever gotten over being saved? And it's a decision we choose to make that if God has a plan for my life, then why would I not follow God? Because he's the one that said it. Psalms 37 says that he will give you the desires of your heart. Understand this. I didn't put those desires in your heart. God did. So why would we not give it to him and say, God, these are my desires. I want to trust you in this area. See, remember, hope is a great thing because it paints the picture, but we can't stay there. We got to take the next step and say, by faith, I move, not by sight. By faith, I move, not by sight. So you want to know a way to honor God? Live by faith. Hebrews 11:6 teaches us that very simple thing. It's a choice that we choose to make.